Welcome to On the Brink with Andy Simon. I'm Andy Simon. I'm your podcast host and your guide. And remember, my job is to help you get off the brink. And I try to find people who are going to do just that, to help you, and these words are very intentional, see, feel, and think in new ways so that you can change. And I often tell people the brain hates me. It doesn't want to change. It'd rather stay just where you are, even when you know that it's better to be different and to do something in a better way. It's very difficult for you to learn new techniques and really begin to thrive with them. So today I have with us a wonderful woman, Sandra Quince. You can see her beautiful smile. I'm going to tell you about her in a moment, but she's also part of our new book, Women Mean Business. So I'm going to show you her picture here, which is gorgeous. And she has a beautiful quote. Remember, our book has 102 women with 500 wisdoms to help you start and spark your success. It's a wonderful book. It's selling like crazy. But her wisdom is very powerful. Be a leader who creates an environment where everyone can bring their best selves and thrive. And she loves a quote by Mahatma Gandhi, "The greatest of humanity is not in being human, but in being humane." Now, I share that with you because I've been doing a great deal of podcasting lately, where people are saying, you know, we have to become more humane. Corporations have to become more concerned about the well-being of their employees and their communities. Culture has to begin to focus on we, not I. And I can say those words, but we have to do them. So here's Sandra Quince's bio, and then she'll tell you about her own journey, because it's a wonderful one. Sandra Quince is a business enablement and leader on loan program executive, responsible for leading business operations across workforce development and arts and heritage, while also serving as program executive for the Leader on Loan program. And this is for Bank of America. Am I correct? Yes.
That's correct.
Prior to this, she was the chief executive officer for Paradigm for Parity through Bank of America's Leader on Loan program. And she was responsible for leading all elements of Paradigm for Parity, strategic plan, financial, programmatic, and operational performance. And she'll tell you more about P4P, because it is a huge opportunity for you to understand what it can do and you can do. She worked with the coalition's co-chairs and board of directors to oversee and execute the organization's vision and growth plans. She's been featured in Essence, CEO World Magazine, Fast Company, and interviewed on FinTech, FinTech TV, BBC, Bloomberg Radio. And she's just a wonderful leader, both in her community, through boards, and through the actions she has. And what I'm so excited about today is that I've developed a program to help companies change their cultures, not by thinking about diversity, equity, and inclusion as a program, but instead as a mindset, as a way of seeing the opportunities that come from having lots of different ideas, being more innovative, inclusive, and humans love to belong. They don't want to be outliers. They don't want to be necessarily forgotten. So the question is, how do we build that kind of culture at a time when DE&I is under a bit of siege, just a little bit, people wondering why we're doing it? Well, we're doing it because it is transformative of ourselves and the businesses we do. Sandra, thank you for joining me today. It's just really an honor and a pleasure.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here with you. And thank you so much for having me on today.
Isn't it fun? I'd love you to tell the listener or the viewer your own journey, because I do think it sets the stage for what we'll be talking about next. Who is Sandra Quince?
Yeah, so thank you for that. And my journey just really starts, I have been talking a lot about and reflecting on what makes Sandra who she is or who has had influence on Sandra. And so it brings me back to my childhood. I am a product of a military father. And so we traveled around a lot. And I think that that experience in itself, because you meet so many different people and you get a chance to interact with different cultures, that really sort of helps to build who you are and helps you to see the world in a very different lens. But I also think about the lessons that my great grandmother taught me of how to be just a really kind and strong woman, while being kind and being very cognizant of the fact that you're not better than other people. It was part of my lessons growing up, how to be a resilient person and to bounce back from things. She was a very strong woman. And while not formally educated, she was extremely intelligent. But then also teaching me to just stand up for myself, to advocate for myself, and to speak up for myself. And so that's where I draw that inner strength. And I think, you know, when I became the CEO of Paradigm for Parity, that didn't happen by happenstance, right? There were a series of things that led up to that. But earlier in my career, Andrea, one of the things that I didn't understand was really that when you put your head down and you're working hard, that that wasn't enough.
I'm sorry to laugh. I know the feeling well. Oh,
right. So you show up. I was first generation college. I was first generation corporate. I didn't understand the rules of the road. And while I had these beautiful life lessons, I wasn't sure how to employ them at that moment. And I came into the workforce thinking, if you just put your head down and you do really good work, you're going to get promoted. And while doing really good work is a part of what we all should do, because that's table stakes, that is not the only path that leads you to promotion, right? That is just one part of many different things that we have to be thinking about in the workplace. And so I did learn that I needed to not just do good work, but I needed to also understand what I wanted out of my career. I needed to understand how to advocate for myself and employ those life lessons that I learned earlier as a child and speak up and talk about the good work that I was doing. So sort of think about, how are you telling your story? How are you telling others about the work that you're leading and doing, but adding value to your organization and advocating for yourself in that way? And I learned the power of networking and sponsorship.
Uh-huh.
And so all of that, and part of the wisdoms that I shared, and I think you touched on a little bit as we were, you know, talking about this session, is really around owning your career. I learned the valuable lesson that I have to 100% own my career.
Well, I do think it's actually, I love that, and I've been using it. I've been sharing it, my grandkids, even my daughters, because we're all going through a life journey. And people put you in boxes, and they are real happy putting you in that box and thinking that's who you are. In fact, I coached a woman not long ago who got stuck and stalled in her career. And I said, you haven't taken ownership of it. She said, what does that mean? I said, well, you assumed, like Sandra did, that if I work hard, I'll be noticed and therefore I'll get promoted. And you're upset that others who you've trained have gotten promoted without any of the experience that you have. It's a recurring theme, particularly for women, but not only for women. Now the question becomes, as you're thinking about that career, somehow you moved into an area that has become ownable in some ways, perhaps by design or by chance, in the world of helping others understand the power of a diverse, equitable, inclusive, and belonging workplace. And I say those words to make them come alive. It's not DE&I. It's about a diverse, equitable, inclusive, and belonging place for people to be. It's not a program. It's a place where we love to come to work. Talk a lot to our audience about, how does one migrate there and then own it? And then what do we learn from it? Can you share, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I will say is, you're absolutely right. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is not about a program. It's about creating the right ecosystem for your company and your employees to be able to thrive. And the reason why companies should be engaged in diversity, equity, and inclusion is because, number one, you will be more profitable. There are studies that have been around for 30 plus years that proves this point. Companies that engage in this work, put the right resources behind it, it's not just lip service, they're 30 to 40% times more profitable. And why are they more profitable? Well, they're more profitable because they create the right ecosystem for their employees to show up and do their best work. So what does that mean? That means that your employees are in an environment where they can give their best and do their best work, which means that that creates profitability for the company. because they're interacting with them, with the customers and clients in a way that creates that that sells those products or create that opportunity to engage more customers and more clients and creates opportunities for companies to have more market share. The other thing is you have more companies and clients because they see that there are people that reflect who they are, that they can do business with. And that promotes trust in a brand. And so the fourth thing is you're more innovative because you have different voices, different experiences, different mindsets that are sitting at a table, so to speak, and creating the products and services that help your organization thrive. And so that's the reason why companies should be doing it. Yes, it's the right thing to do. Yes, it creates the right opportunities for your employee base. But at the end of the day, I work for an organization that's there to be profitable. And I want that organization to be profitable because that's how I make money as an employee. And so creating an opportunity and engaging around diversity, equity, and inclusion, you can't afford not to do it. And so in this day and age where, yes, there is a lot of backlash, yes, there are those out there that are saying that diversity, equity, and inclusion is it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, meaning that they feel like it's reverse discrimination or it causes division. And that has never been the intent, nor is it what real diversity, equity, and inclusion does for organizations. There's a study that came out recently, Andy, that talks about, they asked thousands of employees, and this was just released, I think, late last month. They asked them, do you still want your organizations to engage in DE&I? And so one would think that that answer would have been a resounding no based on what you hear out in what you hear the rhetoric today. But 90% of employees said, no, absolutely, it is critical. Yes. To the success of me and my organization.
There's additional research that I've been reading, like you have, which says that people look for companies that have diversity in leadership. And it's not just that they want to belong. They want to know that it matters to the organization and that they can see pathways to progress and success. And they are consumers. They are no different than your clients or your customers. They're looking for a place where they see curiosity, good things, where I can belong and I can share my ideas in a healthy way so that people hear me and I can be strong as opposed to in a box. I am interested in Paradigm for Parity, though. How did that develop? Because it's a particular approach, and it's amazing that Bank of America has underwritten it. Give us some perspective on what is it and how does it work and how could people benefit from it?
Absolutely. Paradigm for Parity is an organization that was created 7 years ago. We'll be going into our 8th year this year. And it's an organization that was created by women for women. Uh-huh. So these were women that had achieved great things in their organizations, right? They were COOs, they were CEOs, and they were on the backsides of their careers. And what they realized when they turned around to look behind them, there weren't other women coming behind them. There weren't other women in the pipeline. And more importantly, their daughters were entering into the workforce. Uh-huh. They realized we have a problem and we have got to find a way to solve it. So unlike some of us that sometimes sit on the sidelines, right, and talk about the issues, these women got together and said, we need to do something about this. And so they created Paradigm for Parity. And Paradigm for Parity is dedicated to achieving gender parity at every level of leadership in corporate America with a lens on racial equity. And so these women said, not only do we need to create this organization and invite companies of various sizes to be a part of this coalition and a part of this change that we want to see, we're going to provide them with the roadmap or a 5-point action plan, we like to call it, to help these organizations be able to navigate their way to success to achieving gender parity. And so they did tons of interviews. They took subject matter experts. They interviewed the women that have been successful in their careers, and they boiled it down to 5 key actions that organizations need to take in order to see parity And what's beautiful about this is when organizations execute on this, you not only have gender parity, but it creates that ecosystem that I talked about earlier, where you're creating an environment where everyone, men, women of all ethnicities, can show up and thrive in an environment that becomes equitable and fair for all. And so, yes, while we're dedicated to achieving gender parity, we've provided the blueprint and all the tools and resources to go along with that. We also understand that it's important that we bring everyone along in this journey. And so it creates an equitable environment for all.
And now a word from our sponsors, Simon Associates Management Consultants. That's us. And we're here to help you see, feel, and think in new ways. Whether you are an organization that's stuck or stalled, or an individual in that organization who's looking to rethink their own life's journey, Simon Associates has designed programs and processes to help you do just that. Our first book, On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights, told the stories of 7 clients who were stuck or stalled, and a little anthropology helped them see things through a fresh lens, reignite their growth, and soar again. My new book that came out in January 2021 is called Rethink: Smashing the Myths of Women in Business. It's all about how 11 women, including myself, were able to see past the hurdles, the glass ceilings, and the brick walls, and become the best that they could be. They heard things like women aren't lawyers, and women can't lead, and women aren't in geosciences. And they said, of course we are. And they really pushed through and did it with such ease that they want other women to see what's possible. At the end of the book, I provide a bit of a how-to process for you. If you're on the brink of rethinking your own life's journey, it's time to pause, step back, and ask yourself, where am I going? What's my passion and my purpose? And am I there or can I get there? Send us your emails to info@andysimon.com and we'll get right back to you to see how we can help. On andysimon.com are some free chapters for both books. And you can also join our newsletter and our Facebook group, Rethink with Andy Simon. We are bringing together women to help other women do what they can't do by themselves, very often to see what's possible and become the best that they can be. Come join us. And now back to our podcast. You know, you're talking about a major transformation of both the corporate and the social that it's set in, because this isn't just inside the company. This is the whole mindset about how do we see each other. And, you know, humans are really quite fascinating because we're status creatures. You know, it's me against my brother, me and my brother against my cousin. You know, a little anthropology always helps us understand the perspective that we've evolved and survived by being, you know, comparing ourselves. Gregory Bateson has some great research on the difference is the difference. It's only because we see outside different from us, we know who we are. But now it becomes a much broader perspective beyond the tribe about the fact that I can be much bigger and broader. And with so many people going through college educations and travel and seeing different things, that it's a time for growth, both personal and professional and in our companies. Parity for progress. Paradigm for parity. Is that something a company buys? Is it something they just understand? How do they get involved with it?
Absolutely. So what I would say is I encourage everyone that's watching and or listening to this podcast to go to paradigm4parity.org and check out our website. All companies have to do is decide that this is definitely, we are on this journey and we want to see parity within the workplace and workforce, and they can join us. And you will see that we have 150 plus other coalition members that are on this journey with us, those that are doing really great work and have achieved parity at certain levels in their organizations, and those that are just starting out who are saying, you know, we're new to this. We want to make an impact. And so we have all and everything in between from an organizational perspective. And so just join us and take advantage of the 5-point action plan, the tools and the resources that we offer, the webinars and seminars that we provide, connecting with others who are like-minded and on this journey with you, and understanding what those leading practices are that are out there that organizations are doing in order to achieve and sustain parity within their organizations. So it is quite simple, Andy, for people to join us.
How does it feel? You know, I tell people that people decide with the eyes and the heart, and they don't know what it is, D&I, what is it, until they see it and feel it and trust that is, in fact, it's good. And that's the way we'll decide to behave differently and actually act on it. It's not easy to change. You know, you're looking for people to change their mindset, but also their conversations, their microaggressions, things they don't even know they're doing, and to begin to see each other in a different light. How do people get, are there some illustrations you can share that aren't Absolutely. Proprietary that will help people see it a little bit better than just hearing it from you?
Absolutely. And what you're talking about and describing, especially around our human nature, is the nature around being biased, right? Unconscious bias. And I know people say they hear that all the time and they wonder, well, you know, I don't have biases. But the truth is, because we're human, we're born with biases. Biases are created every single day. It is not curable. And because
that's not curable. I like that. Go ahead, please.
It is not curable. There's not anything you can take that can cure biases. There are things you can do to mitigate bias and think about when bias becomes dangerous. So think about it. You know, here's a simple illustration. I am a graduate of Florida State University. Me and my husband, we're staunch Seminole fans. And so if you went to the University of Miami, you are automatically the enemy to us, right? Because there is a bias there. Because we are rival teams, automatic, there is a thought that pops in your head when that rival is mentioned. That is a bias. Mm-hmm. It just so happens, though, that that particular bias is one that is not necessarily dangerous, right? Because it is fun. It is sports, right? But when biases become dangerous is when you then take that same thought process and apply it to the workplace and don't hire someone because of the way that they look or where they might come from or the gender or who they love or what ethnicity they are. So again, that's when biases become extremely dangerous. And so what we do at Paradigm for Parity is we help organizations understand how do you mitigate that bias in those very dangerous moments. And those dangerous moments really show up in the employee life cycle. And so we talk about mitigating bias in the moments that matter. And so the employee life cycle starts with hiring, then it moves to onboarding, then it moves to developing, then it moves to promoting. Then it moves to managing talent, and then it moves to retention. So these are all of the inflection points where decisions are made about whether I'm going to be even hired into an organization. Now, how am I onboarded in that organization? Because that makes a difference, because that is a jumping point for me in how well I perform. And then do I get opportunities to be developed in that organization, which then leads to promotion? And when we think about how we manage talent, so those talent management processes, and thinking about, you know, pay, thinking about how you rate talent, all of those things become very subjective and biases creep into those processes. And so how do we mitigate those? And then last is retaining. Who are we retaining and why? And who aren't we retaining and why? And so, again, we talk a lot at Paradigm for Parity and help our organizations through some of the tools and resources, leading practices, sessions, programs, as well as our webinars and seminars around how are you mitigating this bias in those moments that matter, and help organizations think about creating that or that ecosystem where their talent can thrive.
You know, this isn't easy. So as a listener or the viewer is reflecting on their own decisions and bias, I remember among musicians, they've tried to have gender neutral unbiased decisions about whether to put somebody into their orchestra by having them perform behind a screen. So you don't know who they are. You just know what they're producing, what their outcomes are. And we've tried this in a program that I had at Washington University. And we tried to have venture capitalists or funders understand who was presenting, not by their nature or who they were or their background, but what the value of the program was that they were looking for funding for. You know, very little money goes from VCs into women-owned businesses for a reason. It's a woman, much less a woman who's a minority or a person of color. And so it becomes important for us to get neutralized in some fashion, either by creating an illusion or actually thinking about why I'm deciding this, making it intentional, as opposed to simply an old habit where an old bias creeps in and says, well, I saw that before, or someone I knew way back when, or they didn't produce well. You'll be amazed how much baggage you carry, noise in your brain. It influences your decisions. And you're not free-willing it here. You're habit-driven, and you're trying to come up with a better solution. One staff person in the staffing industry said it's not providing a more diverse pool for the HR folks to evaluate. It's that when we provide them, they don't evaluate them in a more neutral fashion. You know, I can send them the right mix and they just go back to finding people who look like them. Right? And that becomes not good for building better organizations. That's just good for hiring somebody. So it's a very interesting time. As you're looking at the trend, this was a business that has evolved. Are you seeing one or two trends that are being done that are helpful and hopeful?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you're absolutely right about, let me circle back on the bias piece that you talked about. Because when you think about mitigating those biases in those moments, like you say, creating those illusion opportunities where you could do blind resumes, you're absolutely right. Because there are things on resumes you don't have to have. What you really need to understand is their credentials, right? What makes them qualified for it. But then I think also mitigating the bias in those moments that matter can come, like you said, by asking yourself some simple questions.
Yes.
Think of it like a muscle. You have to constantly work it, or it will revert back to what it was before. So let me say that. But yes, we're in a very interesting time, Andy. And certainly when we think about what's helpful and hopeful. So what's helpful right now? We're in this time where companies really, many of them, especially those that are part of Paradigm for Parity and our coalition, they're doubling down. They're doubling down and they are staying true to who they are as an organization, their mission, their vision, and their values. They're doubling down and continuing the good work of creating an equitable, fair workplace for all.
Yep.
And I think what these companies are doing is they're also, you know, looking at their language to be sure their language aligns with the outcomes they want to achieve, and making sure that inclusion is at the forefront of everything that they do, which inclusion should be the leading factor. It's inclusion for all. It's also diversity, equity, and inclusion for all. And so leading with that is many organizations are taking a step and leading with that inclusion piece and ensuring that if I have programs that are specific for certain people, why do we have these programs or processes put in place? And I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning your why so you can go back and create the right data sets and analytics to help explain why you're on the path you're on and reconfirming for yourself that this is really the right thing to do. So for me, that is helpful. And for organizations to go through that exercise and ensure that whatever they're doing, that it matters and that it's creating the right environment that they want to see for their organization. And then putting the data and the analytics behind it. What's hopeful? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Tell me your hope.
Yeah. So what's hopeful, right? What's hopeful is that 90% that I talked about earlier, Andy. The majority of people want to see a more equitable workplace and they want to see it for everyone.
Yes.
And that is hopeful for me. And especially those that are that are in the workforce today and those that are entering into the workforce, really understanding and working for those organizations. They do their homework and their research, and they will not work for organizations
that are biased in
themselves, that they can't see themselves there.
And they know that hope comes from being in a place that has a curious, broad perspective.
Yes.
Because if not, they're going to be in a box. And I don't care how much they own their career, it's going to be in a place that, you know, McKinsey, February 2023, had the great breakup. You know, the women were leaving the corporate because there was no hope.
Yeah.
And there was no effort to give them hope or even to demonstrate. And this is a time where women have choice. And men do as well.
That's right.
And I'm looking at Gen Zs and wondering and worrying about our guys, because the women are getting rallied around and the men don't quite know what to rally around. Mm-hmm. And without belonging to something, they feel a little lost, and it's worrisome. And our kids are going to look at the adults and wonder about what they're going to be. So this is transformative times. Sandra, this has been wonderful. One or two things you want our listeners and viewers to remember, because I've been absolutely transfixed by your conversation and I'm enjoying every moment, but we do have to end. What would you like them not to forget?
I don't want them to forget that biases are not curable. And I think as individuals, we need to ensure that we're mitigating our bias and always ask yourself and be curious, who's missing and why? Right? Think about that on your teams when you show up to work. Are you an upstander? When you see something, do you say something? Do you challenge the status quo when you feel like something isn't right? And what solutions are you bringing to the table? And how are you supporting your organization to be better? And I want organizations to understand that there is a lot of work for you to do to ensure you're creating the right ecosystem. And how are you engaging and supporting your managers, your people leaders, because they lead the majority of your population and they make or break your culture.
Yep. I think that this has been a marvelous half hour. I can keep going. And I'm thinking about ways to try and bring this out to my own clients to help them see, feel, and think in better ways, because they're looking for it. You know, they're reaching that point where, you know, I have one client who finally made three women partners in their firm. And it was with, I mean, I've been working with them for 6 years. It was with great effort. And it is an interesting time to watch people go through slow transformation. You know, what is that expression? A little, and off the cliff they go. And I think we're reaching that end where a little was good, but a lot would be greater.
Absolutely.
For my listeners, I want you to remember one thing, that the words you choose create the worlds you live in.
Yes.
And Sandra has been saying that many different ways today, bias, thinking about whether it's diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging, those are words. And we live with behaviors, but the words we use create the worlds we live in. So think carefully about what you're thinking and saying, what you're hearing, because what is said isn't often what you hear. And what you hear often is what you think, but not necessarily what was meant. So the complexity of this should not be underestimated, but the opportunity, particularly with Paradigm for Parity and its five-step process, is ready for you. So if they want to reach you, Sandra, how can they do that?
Yeah, so they can reach me on LinkedIn at Sandra Quince. They can go on our website, paradigm4parity.org. We would love to have you peruse our site. And of course, there are all kinds of ways to reach our organization once you join our site.
It's been a pleasure, a privilege, and thank you so much for joining us today. For my listeners and my viewers, haven't we had fun? It's so much fun to explore something and to listen, to see, feel, and think in new ways, and to see how you can change. I will tell you, I'll put a plug in, because Women Mean Business is full of wonderful wisdoms that will, in fact, spark your own success. And as Sandra was sharing those, one that I've been repeating is, as you rise, lift others with you.
Yes.
It's intentional, you know, and I've worked with women who are CEOs and they don't have any process for moving others up. They haven't even noticed. They're building the business, but I haven't noticed what that means for all others inside. So this is a time to get intentional about as you rise, lift others. And you'll find Women Mean Business at www.womenmeanbusinessbook.com. And Amazon would love for you to go and enjoy it there. So thanks, Sandra. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. Thanks again for joining us. It's been great. Bye. Have a wonderful day. Remember, take your observations, turn them into innovations. Be a little anthropologist. You may enjoy it. Bye-bye now.